Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence.
Well, it's daylight, you know, bright sunny day. And our scripture reading is Daniel chapter 4, if you want to turn to that. I'll refer to it. I'm not going to necessarily read any specific passages. Am I on, Kathy? Did I turn this thing on? Okay. I'm going to refer to several passages. So just Daniel chapter 4, verse 1, if you want to turn to that. But it's bright outside, but in a sense, it's a dark period of time in our lives. You know, I remember a seminary professor of mine. I had him for one class. He was an old guy, and he wasn't too much of a, teacher. But I had to go to an associational meeting, and lo and behold, he preached at the associational meeting. And I'll never forget an illustration he used. He said that his one of his grandchildren spent the night with he and his wife, and it was a little tyke, and he went in and tucked the men in the bed, you know, and then walked to the door, turned off the light, and started out the door, and the little tyke said, "Papa, it's dark in here." It's dark where we're living today. You know, COVID is rampant. We don't know what to do about it. We don't know, we're thinking at the funeral day, do we let people hug our neck, or we just give them a knuckle bump, or, you know, you don't know what to do. It's dark out there. It's dark in Daniel's day, really. The children of Israel had been swept away from their home in Judah. 586 B.C., give or take a few years. 586 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar's army came and ransacked Judah. Took the cream of the crop back to Babylon. That's what Daniel was. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were the cream of the crop. So he took them back to Babylon to teach them the ways of Babylon. It happened around 586. This story that we're going to read this morning happened sometime after that, maybe 562 or something like that. And there is a period, they tell us that scholars that study sort of such things as this tell us that there's a period of 7 years when Nebuchadnezzar did nothing. You know, he was a great conqueror. Apparently he was a charismatic type of guy, Jacob. And man, if he saw it, he went after it. And if he went after it, he got it. And so he brought these Hebrew children, we call them. Daniel, you know, I think Brother Travis said maybe he was 14 or so when he brought him back to Babylon. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were young men. And so he brings them back, and this fourth chapter of Daniel, there are many scholars that think that Nebuchadnezzar wrote this chapter, being the only non-Jewish person to write a portion of the Bible. I believe that's right. So, and there are scholars who say that verses 1 through 3 of this fourth chapter need to go back into chapter 3 rather than chapter 4. You know, there were no divisions back when it was done. But in the first three verses of Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar, whether he wrote it or not, he praises God. Now this is a man who has all the strength and power in the world. If he says do this, people did this. If he says do that, people did that. The most powerful man in the world at that time. But I think of that song, "He Touched Me." God touched his heart through this dream and the interpretation of the dream. And I believe old King Nebuchadnezzar, I've shortened his name in here to keep from writing such a long time every time. But I believe old Neb, I believe he was saved. I really do. Something happened. What was that song? "He touched me." He touched him and made him whole. He says, "To all the peoples, the nations, and the languages that dwell in all the earth." And he knew about all the earth. He owned just about all the earth. "It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me." Now here's a man in a previous chapter is all over himself. He can do no wrong. He's God, if you please. And what he says takes place. But now, all of a sudden, in these first three verses, apparently these first three verses came after the dream that he had. And we'll go into the dream in a minute. But he's praising God, the Most High God, and what the Most High God has done for me. You know, when I read that, I thought, how many of us, we praise God for his goodness and his mercy, but when do we make it personal? Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life, how you've led me today, and how you're going to lead me tomorrow. You see what I'm saying? We need to be specific in our praise. And then he says, the Most High God. I thought of that and I said, now, you know, Brother Travis assigned me this scripture. And same time he's done that now. Next time he's going to let me preach what I'm, you know. But I'm thankful that he assigned me this because it made me dig and dig and dig. And I've been working on this sermon. You know, I may not get delivered all, but I've been working on it for 2 months or more. And I noticed the Most High God. That words just jump out at me like that. Nebuchadnezzar says he praises the Most High God. Who is this God that he's praising? I thought of some of the names in the scripture. Well, he's Yahweh. You know, Moses encountered, or Yahweh encountered Moses. Moses said, Yahweh told him to go talk to Pharaoh. And Moses said, wait a minute, Yahweh. Who do I say is sending me? And Yahweh says, you tell him that the great I am is sending you. There's really not, I've told you before, I think, there's really not a good English translation for Yahweh, that I am. I mean, the best we can do is I is. All right? I is yesterday. I is today. I is tomorrow. So don't you fret and don't you fear. Amen. Amen. Don't you cry. I am. God says, whatever you need, I am. If you need healing, I am. I'm the healer. I'm the provider. Look, I've redeemed you. I am the redeemer. I'm the bread of life. That's what Jesus said. He says in John 14, I am life. I'm truth. I'm the way. Did Nebuchadnezzar recognize all this? I don't know if he recognized all of it, but he recognized a piece of it, enough to bring about salvation in his soul. Whatever you need, Yahweh says, whatever you need, brothers and sisters, I am. Lord, we need you today. If you're the great I am, we need you today. The world is hurting. Everything is so unsure. And Lord, we need you. So be the great I am for us today. Not only is he great I am, but he's also Elohim. He's the living God. He's not like these idols that Nebuchadnezzar had been bowing down to, that someone had to make. You understand? Nobody made God. He is. It always has been. It always will be. And so Nebuchadnezzar recognizes that God is the Elohim, the great living God of everything. Not like these more ornaments that Nebuchadnezzar had been bowing down to. Isn't that great? We serve an awesome God. Not only is he Elohim, he's Jehovah. That is, he brings everything into existence. The Bible says everything that was created by him. Nobody created God. Wow. Well, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God is God, and he's always going to be God. Like it or not, they'd have caught bigger thing you and I can do about it. He's God. He's Jehovah. He brings into existence. We don't bring him into existence. He brings us into existence. My friends, if he brings us into existence and then redeems us in Jesus Christ, we don't have to worry. Whatever comes our way, he's going to take care of. He's El Shaddai. 1 Kings 18. Brother Travis spoke on that a few weeks ago. He is God Almighty. Wow, isn't that great? He's God Almighty. These little wimps running around here trying to act like they're God. You're just a speck. You know? Just a speck. I've told you before, you know, they're like a fly landed on your shoulder and you just bump them off. There's nothing to them. God Almighty. Nebuchadnezzar says, how great are his signs. And he's provided for you and me some wonderful signs that we read about in the Bible and even in our own lives. I think of the blood on the doorpost. You know, when the people of Israel were trying to leave Egypt, and God had put all kind of plagues on them and this, that, and the other, and the angel says, you tell the people to just paint their doorpost with the blood of the Lamb, and the death angel will pass over them. And so God did that wonderful work. And the people painted the door lintels or doorposts, whatever they were, with the blood of the Lamb. And all those that had not, they lost their children, their firstborn. But those that painted with the blood of the Lamb, the death angel passed over. Wow. That's what kind of wonders our God provides. Have we allowed him to provide for us in that manner? I think it's that allowance that makes a difference. I think of the flood. My goodness, what a mighty wonder of nature. The great flood that destroyed all living things except those on the ark. How terrible that must have been. But then, God puts a rainbow in the sky to remind us that he'll never do that again. Isn't that great? And I don't know about you, but I've seen a rainbow in the last few weeks. And it reminds me that God's on the throne, but he's never going to do what he did to the people there. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I wrote down here, what a wonderful change in Neb's life had been wrought since Jesus came in to his heart. See, Jesus wasn't around. Well, Jesus and God are the same, so Jesus was there, amen?
Amen.
Then let's get into this dream, all right? What time is it, Jacob?
11:46.
Good night. Travis may have let me preach the second part this next week. I worked too hard on it, not preach. Oh, me. But in verse 4, he says, this is Nebuchadnezzar, I was at ease in my house and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that made me afraid. Now again, this is the most powerful man on the face of the earth. And all of a sudden, a dream makes him afraid. Can you believe it? It must have been a powerful dream. He calls in the Chaldeans, his magicians, his enchanters, and astrologers to interpret the dream. And he tells them the dream. This time, he didn't the time before, you know. But he tells them the dream, and they have no clue. They can't interpret it. So he calls his magician, Daniel. God called Daniel a prophet, and Daniel begins to interpret the dream for him. Apparently, Daniel was a man of God. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed his home and basically tried to destroy his faith. But some way, Daniel took a liking to King Neb. And he just tried to help him along. Verses 18 and 19 of chapter 4 indicate that Daniel and him had become something of less than adversaries anyway. Nebuchadnezzar tells Daniel a dream. And And then Daniel interprets a dream for him. And it's a terrible dream, apparently, because it frightened him, as I said. But what lessons can we gain? I know our time is gone, but let me just say, lessons to learn. God is sovereign. He's on the throne. He's been on the throne. He's on the throne today, and he'll be on the throne tomorrow. And can't nobody throw him off his throne. They've tried. They've tried and tried and tried, but God is God. And the best thing about it, he's our God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So God is sovereign. Nebuchadnezzar moved from acknowledging no one is sovereign but him. But all of a sudden here he's giving God all the glory and praise that is due him. The second truth, God confronts us. We don't confront God. We ain't big enough to confront God. He confronts us. Verse 35, it says, you don't look at God and say, what have you done? God is God, and he does as he pleases. That's his sovereignty. The third thing, loving and respecting is sometimes very difficult. I mean, it had to be for Daniel. I mean, here Nebuchadnezzar comes in, not only takes away the prime youth from Judah, he destroys Judah, and I mean, he destroys it, and then tries to make them be worshipers of him and his gods. Loving and respect is sometimes very difficult. It had to be for Daniel. But I believe he believed in God, and that made everything just right. The last thing I would say, I wrote down this. This is after I typed the sermon. About the pandemic. What are you doing in this pandemic? Are we praising God, or are we placing blame? That's just something that came to me. Are we praising God, or are we placing blame? It don't matter. It don't matter who's responsible. God is God. It don't matter who we lose. God is God. And he's going to work everything out the way he wants it worked out. I believe that. We just have to get on his train, if you please. Let's pray. As Kate comes to lead us, our Father, we thank you that you've given us today. We thank you for the love, mercy, and grace that you share with us each and every day. And I pray, Lord, that we'll realize that you're on the throne. Lord, you're on the throne. It's dark out there, but you're on the throne. Help us to acknowledge that. Help us to follow you. Well, there are people here this morning, and we're somewhat afraid. We don't know whether to shake hands or bump knuckles or ignore each other or what to do. But Lord, we turn all that over to you. We ask you to understand our fears and our failures, and that you'll strengthen us in these days ahead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.